them, something happened to them. And you know, the one thing we have to see here is that the more we obey God, something will happen on the inside of us that will make us what we are supposed to be. Amen. They were cleansed as they went. And so there was a process that happened after they decided to obey. And as they began to go, the process took place inside of them, and they began to see a change in themselves. You see, if nobody else sees the change first, you need to see it. Oh, come on and say amen. Even if nobody else want to give you the benefit of the doubt, you need to say, I know I've been changed. Oh, hallelujah. You need to be convinced within yourself. And no matter if they never pat you on the back and say, I can see a difference, you need to be able to see a difference in yourself. Hallelujah. Because people don't rejoice when you change. People don't rejoice when you get better. People don't rejoice when things go your way. They rejoice when you don't have anything. They rejoice when you fall short of your goal. They oh, come on and say amen. You know I'm telling the truth. Oh, because some of you rejoice when other folks don't achieve anyway. Oh, praise his name. But I don't want to be like that. I want to rejoice with them that rejoice. I want to praise God for those who have been blessed. Amen. If I haven't been blessed already. Oh, come on and say amen. Yeah. He says that as they went, they were cleansed. But look at verse 15. And one of them, and I'm almost done now. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Now here it is. You got 10 of these people, 10 guys. Amen. The number 10 is the number of order. God blessed them because they were in order. Amen. They abided by the law, but then the love of God overshadowed them. Amen. Oh, yeah. God ordered and commanded his love toward them. And as they went, they were cleansed. And all of them were cleansed, but the one realized that I'm healed. Now, can you imagine that he had been a leper for a while, and he had started losing fingers and toes. And come on and say amen. He had begun losing ears and everything else. But as he went on his way, miraculously, something started to appear in his life. Oh, yeah, I just want you to see here that it happens to us every day. Amen. Oh, yeah, as I go on my daily journey, and it seems like I've lost so many things. But when I look at myself and what I seem to have lost, it looks like I'm gaining something now. I've grown. Oh, come on and say amen. I'm starting to grow again.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holding Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
He's a wonder in my soul.
I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do. How many of you know the Lord is good to you? And you know, I'm so grateful because when we think of his goodness, we think of all that the Lord has done for us and is doing for us, and then when we think about the things that he has not done to us. I know I'm talking all holy folk in here, but before you got where you are, you ought to be able to say amen to what I just said. Amen. That he kept you even when you didn't keep yourself. Watched over you and protected you. Kept the enemy from taking you out when you deserve to be. How wonderful is he? And so I think at this time of the year, I've got so much that I just want to say. I feel like preaching. I feel like singing. I feel like singing. I feel like preaching. I feel like celebrating Jesus. It's like, it's just so much to thank him for. He's just that good. He's just that good. And I feel like, you know, every Christmas there are going to be challenges. Every Christmas there are going to be something. There is no perfect Christmas. Let me say that. There is no perfect Christmas as it relates to the world, because we associate so much with Christmas. But the perfect Christmas is celebrating Jesus. You can't miss it. That's a perfect Christmas. Or you may not have gotten the gifts you wanted. You might not have given the gifts you wanted. You might not be with who you want to be with, and all the rest of that. That makes it an imperfect Christmas for you. But when you put your mind on Jesus and you thank God for Jesus and you realize what Jesus has done, that's a perfect Christmas. You can praise him all by yourself. Yeah, in your little piece of the world, you can give him glory. Things might not be right. Money might be tight. But oh, you can give him the glory. Audio, can I get just a little more here? I want to hear myself shout. I just, ooh, glory to God. Oh, bless his name. Bless his name. When you think of all that the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming to planet Earth to save the people of God has done for us, all of the songs inspired by him, his presence. Oh my God, I know some of y'all wanted to come and get a quick, you know,
Let's say a little hurry. Even the devil mad don't want the mic there. That's all right. Yeah. But let me say something to you. If you just take a few moments and forget about everything that's not about Jesus, and just let the Spirit of the living God have his way, you won't leave here like you came. In Jesus' name. I mean, your heart will overflow with joy. The scripture says in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. To all people. Listen, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. My brothers and sisters, if that's not nothing to shout about, I don't know what is. Listen, can I just keep it right here? I just want to say three quick things about why we ought to celebrate Jesus. This is his day, but his day came to bring us gifts that we never could have had nor experienced without him. Verse 1 tells us that the first gift he gives to all men who accept him. Now that's the qualifier. You've got to accept Jesus. You've got to know Jesus for yourself. The first gift is freedom from fear. Freedom from fear. No, music, play softly. Stay right there. Freedom from fear. There is a worldly fear, and there is a reverential fear. When the angel said to the shepherds, fear not, it was the worldly fear that he was saying to them, don't be fearful. But there is a reverential fear, a godly fear, that we ought to fear, because God is the only one who can destroy the body and the soul. He's the only one to be feared. But any other fear is not the fear of God. It's worldly fear. And Jesus came to give us freedom from fear. There are at least three areas of fear that we experience in this life that Jesus came to give us freedom from. One, it's the fear of the unknown. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what's going on in life. You don't know what's going on inside of you. You don't know what's happening with you or things or circumstances. It's the unknown fear. But secondly, there is the fear of the known. The things you do know that you're afraid of, that challenge you in a way that causes you to have fear because you cannot rise to the occasion, or that you feel that will be the end of you because of what something has been determined or diagnosed. And because you know that that fear causes you to end life or the joys of life just at the knowledge of what could be. But then thirdly, there is another fear, and that's the fear to know. Well, you say, isn't the fear to know the same as the fear of the unknown? No. The fear of the unknown is that you desire to know, you want to know, but there is no way possible in and of yourself you can know without the help of God of what will be on tomorrow or what will happen in the future. But the fear to know is when you have the opportunity to know, but you're afraid to know because of what it will do to you, or what it will do in you, or how it'll change how you feel. And so because of the fear to know, you'd rather not know. You don't want to know because you don't want to change how you feel. You don't want to know because it means you're going to have to grow. You don't want to know because you can't remain the same. But all of those are fears that the Lord desires to deliver us from. Freedom from fear. Do you know how much more life you can live without fear? Without fear of failing, without fear of falling, without fear of folk making fun of you, without fear of being made ashamed of, without fear of disappointment, without fear of this, that, and the other? Do you know how blessed life could be for you if you didn't live in constant fear? That's one of the gifts Jesus gave to you. Freedom from fear. Won't you touch one or two people and say, I'm free from fear this morning. Jesus gave me the gift of freedom from fear. Come on, somebody. You can act like you're not afraid of anything, but the devil will sure try you. Thank you for the freedom of fear. What used to have me bound no longer binds me. I'm no longer afraid. Because I know the word is clear that all things work together. We know it. We know all things work together for good. So why should I be afraid when it's working for my good? Hallelujah. But in verse 2, we have something else. We have the joy of salvation. The joy of salvation. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I only have one question to ask you this morning. Is he your Savior? Yeah. Is he your Savior? Listen, because he is your Savior, he has sanctified you. He has set you aside from the world as his own. God claims you as his own. God loves you as his own. You are his own. And he takes personal what he calls his own. And Jesus came so that you, through Jesus, could return back to God and be in that relationship that only Jesus, as our Savior, could bring about. And my brothers and my sisters, I think most of us miss all of the benefits of salvation. We know that we're saved from sin, death, and hell, but we don't know salvation goes so much deeper. Every day of our lives are filled with the fruit of salvation, with the benefits of salvation. Our present, even our past, because our sins are forgiven. And everything about our future has everything to do with our salvation. And when he set us aside, he put us in the world, but he put us in the world as his own. Different. We're lights. We're examples. We're representatives of him. Jesus should be a joy to speak, to sing, to demonstrate, to call on, to live with, to walk for, to do all that God has called us to do in his name. We're peculiar. We're different. We're uncommon, unusual. We ought not act like the world. We're sanctified, set aside. There ought to be something different about us. People can tell. You belong to the King. You belong to the King. You're different. And you ought to be glad about it. You're saved. You're sanctified. And by the grace of God, you're satisfied. And that ought to bring you great joy. Great joy. Great joy. There are some things that bring us joy, but this brings us great joy. Because the song is so right when it says, can't nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. And thirdly, my brothers and sisters, in verse 14, Bible says, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. This word glory especially talks about God's brightness and his presence. Listen. When his Shekinah glory showed up in the 2 Chronicles chapter 7, they couldn't deal with it. His presence was so powerful. His brightness, couldn't stand to look upon it. Moses wanted to see him. He wanted to know him, see his face. God had to tell him, man, no man has seen my face and live. He said, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll let you see me pass by. When Moses went on the mountain, his hair was black. But when he got a glimpse of the back of God passing by, his hair turned snow white. Because of the brightness. You can't say God is with me and be in darkness. That there's too much brightness in his presence. That there's too much life in his presence.
He changes the situation when he shows up. Glory! Glory! Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. Well, peace not like the world gives, but peace. This peace comes from the Prince of Peace. Jesus has this peace. This peace. And I'm closing my message this morning when I tell you that peace is the third gift. The second gift was salvation. The joy of salvation. Don't forget the joy of salvation. Because though we're saved, listen, the joy continues. All you have to do is stir it up. I know you might remember the day and you might remember the hour, but even if you're not cognizant of either one, when you think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for you, That joy of your salvation just rises up. And so this third gift is perpetual peace. Perpetual peace. It never ends for the believer. First thing about this peace is it's a present peace. It's a present peace. Not only is it a gift from the Lord as a present, but it is here now. Present peace. It's a peace that passeth all understanding. You can be in the midst of a storm, in the midst of a trial, in the midst of an unrestful situation, but the peace of God is present. How do you know the peace is present, preacher? Because the Bible says, this day in the city of David is born a Savior. So that means that peace arrived when Jesus showed up. So peace is present because Jesus has already arrived. And peace came with him because he's the Prince of Peace. Well, not only has peace arrived, but peace is something else. Peace is personal. It's personal. You see, because this peace belongs to those who know Jesus, who's born again, who's accepted him as their Savior. This peace is personal because this is the peace that he gives as a gift to those who know and love him. It's present. Which means sometimes in the midst of your situations and your storm, though the peace has arrived, you got to understand it may not feel like it sometime, but when you call on the name Jesus, it arises. It's in you. It's in you. It may be lying dormant in you, but it's in you, and it will arise at the name of Jesus and give calm to your storms. Your peace is within. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world, all of the unrest in the world, all of the trouble we deal with, all of the things that we see on television, all of the peaceless states of men, has nothing to do
with the peace on the